Welcome to the Cabin Cast, your getaway primer.
Hello.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. Good evening. Whatever time it is for the rest of you that are listening. On the road, maybe, or out for a walk. I'd love to know how people are listening and where they're listening.
And how much clothing they're bringing along, because today's a strange day. It's a Wednesday, which is when we usually record. And yesterday, I'm sure everyone around the country, or the Midwest especially, had this crazy swing where it was the hottest day in recorded history in Wisconsin, I believe, up north at least, where it was 60. Did it get up to 67?
I only saw 60.
Okay, I saw 65.
But it felt like summer day.
Yeah, it was like a summer day. And then a cold front hit instantly, and the temperature dropped, and we woke up this morning, and it was like 5 degrees, I think. Well, I saw.
All night, it sounded like the house was going to fall down. My cabin was just like
howling in the wind.
Yeah, oh, crazy.
Yeah. So it was like this crazy 60 degree drop.
You want to know something though?
What?
I didn't hear it. So I guess I just told something secondhand because my kids were telling me about it this morning. I sleep through anything.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't hear the wind howling, but they did. So yeah. They were telling me about, oh my gosh, I thought my room was going to blow over and all of this. But yeah, it was when I picked my son up from school after I left work yesterday, I also had on like a skirt and boots, but no tights.
Yeah.
And it felt like a summer day. He couldn't wait to get home and play basketball. By the time we got home, I went and put tights on to go back out to do the rest of my day. And he came in and he said it was too cold to play.
Yeah.
It dropped from a summer day to a blizzard in
right.
half an hour. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, that's life lately.
Right? I know. But we'll just be prepared for everything, right? Like in your car, you have a coat, you have a...
Right. Yeah.
A little bit of everything. Fishing, it's like going to a soccer game.
Right.
Right. Sure. Soccer season is always, and that's what I'm a little worried about, because soccer season will be starting soon. And usually in the Northwoods for soccer season, they spend the first week or so of soccer season shoveling the field off.
Yeah.
Yep. They take shovels to practice.
It's good exercise.
I'm not making that up at all. They have to take a shovel to practice. And this year, hopefully they won't, but I'm hoping it doesn't like rain every game or something else.
Yeah.
Like
crazy. It's going to be strange.
But
it's
we do need the, I mean, we need the moisture and the.
Sure. Yeah. That's been lacking this year.
So that part's okay. If I'll just do it not during a soccer game, that would be great. I was doing some research about cabins, and I thought maybe I'd take this a little different direction. I'm like, I wonder if there are any log cabin restaurants. Like that have that name or that theme. I know one of my first restaurants I ever went to in the Northwoods was called Black Bear, and it's a cabin. And it's just exactly what you picture.
Yeah.
Like when you come to the Northwoods, it's cozy. It's the log walls. So I'm like, I wonder where there's a really cool log cabin restaurant. And I found one, and it is on my bucket list. It's the history is so cool. The pictures of it are really, really cool, and it's a great website. So we will link it for you guys. I'd love to know if anybody has been there before. It's in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and it has. So it's in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. It has such. I think it has like 12 dining rooms or something. Oh, so geez. I was going to share a little bit of this history with you because it'll really pique your interest. The original log cabin building that now houses the log cabin restaurant was built in 1929. I'm always so fascinated when things have been around for a long time. It was built out of oak logs from the surrounding Lihue Forest on a site once occupied by the Nantoki Indians. During the years when the manufacture, sale, or transport, but significantly not the use or consumption, of intoxicating liquors was prohibited by the 18th Amendment of the Constitution, and the Volstead Act, it operated as a speakeasy. No one knows exactly who the cabin's patrons were or how it operated during this period, but we do know that many speakeasies tried to avoid breaking the law by selling customers setups. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
I hadn't either, so this was fascinating to me. So they would sell setups, ice, glasses, pitchers, mixers, condiments. So they would just sell them. It's like if you go into the gas station, right, and Some gas stations make you pay for your cup and ice.
Oh,
and
right.
Some don't.
Yeah.
So there's your setup. So go into the gas station. Can I have my setup, please? So they would sell that. And then they would provide complimentary alcoholic beverages as a courtesy.
Oh, that is so courteous. To go along with the
setup. Other establishments called blind pigs sold tickets to see an attraction, like a blind pig, and then gave the ticket purchasers free beers to go along with it.
Oh, that's nice.
I had never heard of either of those things, so that was pretty interesting. Despite these efforts to circumvent the law's intent, police raids and arrests remained a concern. Hence, speakeasies typically hid from view behind peephole doors and downstairs rooms and in remote areas like the Lehoy Forest. The log cabin's location in a forest surrounded by Amish farms may have helped it stay clear of the law and prosper during this era. According to its original owner, booze was stored under the wooden booths that are now in the booth room, just in case the police happened to show up unexpectedly. When Prohibition ended with the adoption of the 21st Amendment in 1933, the building was turned into a restaurant that operated continuously through the remainder of the Depression and during World War II under the stewardship of the Lisi family. In 1958, it had caught the eye of a young man named Celestino Charlie DeSantis. Charlie loved cooking and art, and he saw the restaurant as the perfect opportunity to pursue both interests simultaneously, which is pretty interesting, right?
Yeah. Like,
boy, I'm an art collector and I like food, so how can we do it together? Using all the resources he could pull together at the time, Charlie purchased the property from the Lisis and embarked on a 50-year project that saw many expansions and innovations along with an ever-growing collection of art. Most of the early portraits and other works from the collection remain for the enjoyment of restaurant guests, including copies of several master artworks and some painted by Charlie himself. The log cabin is located in the heart of the Pennsylvania Dutch farmland, just above Zook's Mill Covered Bridge, one of Lancaster County's famous covered kissing bridges that, according to Pennsylvania Dutch legend, bring health and good luck to those who kiss under its rafters. Might be worth going just to do that. Also known as Log Cabin Covered Bridge, Zook's Mill Covered Bridge carries Log Cabin Road over the Cocalico Creek, strongest near Log Cabin Road's intersection with Rose Hill Road. Built in 1849 by Henry Zook, it's one of Lancaster County's oldest and strongest covered bridges. So anyway, there's a lot of things to see, obviously, in Lancaster County. And then go see the bridges and go eat at
the log cabin. Yeah, it's a beautiful website.
Yeah, beautiful website. The cocktails, the menu, everything looks amazing. And like I said, there's 12 rooms and there's a gallery that shows all of it. There's galleries on their website that show the art. You can learn about the chef. I mean, I have several friends that base their travel around food.
Yeah.
Like their favorite restaurants. I was talking to a friend last night that steakhouses are their favorite thing.
Yes.
And they will travel places just for steakhouses. For me, I've talked about it's the hotels and the resorts that I love to go to. But this might be a great one to go to if you love food.
Yeah, they've got some amazing menu items, kind of classic supper club stuff, but like walnut crusted warm duck leg confit, walnut crusted warm duck leg confit salad, smoked trout and autumn salad. I'm just trying to see if there's anything really interesting or different. Grilled organic jerk chicken. I mean, it's a pretty good mix of things. It looks, and just the website's cool. That's worth checking out in and of itself. And if you're ever in PA, which sometimes I actually have to get out there to some of the Amish furniture makers that we sell at our thing. It would be nice to visit. And
right. That would be so cool.
Put this on the list of places to stop.
Ooh, that'd be a really cool on location.
Yeah, for sure.
I bet that the log cabin would, love to be featured on here and interviewed about their history and what they do. I love seeing places that are preserved and that each owner decides to really embrace the place and appreciate its past, but then like Charlie adding his art in and how to make it special for the future generations too. So, and you know, too, when someone has this beautiful website, that tells you too a lot about what your experience is going to be there. Because it shows that they really care about the details, you know, and they featured their chef. They talk about their team. A lot of cool things to look at on this website and to go and visit. And if you guys have restaurants that are named the Log Cabin or are in a beautiful cabin setting, let us know. I'd love to look at that too.
Yeah, there's a Log Cabin restaurant in Conover.
Okay.
That is right on the snowmobile trail. That's a nice place. They have great pizza. It's a bar restaurant.
Is it called the Log Cabin?
Yeah, it's called the Log Cabin. Cool. And it is in a small log cabin with a little kick out, but it is tiny. There's not a lot of space. So when we come in with our group of snowmobilers, of course not this year, but in general, the place is completely overwhelmed. And when we went there last time, we walk in and it was kind of busy, maybe half full. And we came in and we filled the rest of it. There was probably 25 of us. And I walked up to the bartender and I said, "Hey, how long are meals taking? Is there a chance for us to eat here?" He goes, "You tell me." That's what he said. And I'm like, "Okay, so is that a yes or a no?" And he's like, "I don't know, man." So I was like, "Okay." So I got our whole group together and there was a restaurant across the street that was like a barbecue place. So we start walking over there, gather up all our equipment, carrying our hands. We start walking and he runs out and goes, "If you guys are going to a different restaurant, you need to move all your snowmobiles because that's our snowmobile lot." And we weren't in their parking lot. We were across the street. I guess maybe there were signs up we didn't notice, but we were planning on going there. So I don't think anyone thought of it.
Oh, my goodness.
So he's like, "Move all your sleds." And then I said, "Well, okay, that's fine. We'll move. You know, it's just too bad we couldn't eat here. We want to eat with you guys." He goes, "Oh, you can eat here. It should only be 15 to half an hour." So then he tells me the time after we all had, we're like, and we weren't rude about it. I was just like, "Okay, I guess we'll head out."
Right. You were trying to be nice about it.
He chases me out the door to bring us back into the restaurant after not just giving me the most, you know, strangest
communication.
Like, yeah. He's like, "What are we doing here?" So then we all pile back in and it probably took like an hour though. So he then, you know, kind of exaggerated how fast it would come out. So we've got all these kids and it was interesting.
Oh my goodness.
But it's a good place that we still keep going there. And I don't always judge a place based on what an employee will just say. Like, it's just based on the history you have with the place. If you're around, you know, it's a quality place. The owners are great people.
Right.
All those things. It's just funny. Some of the things that happened when just communication gets involved and people say, "I told you we didn't know, but it didn't mean it was going to take that long."
Right.
It's like, well, when you have children and you bring them into a restaurant, having a general ballpark idea of how long it's going to take is fairly important.
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, it's Kristen. I'm here to tell you about White Arrows Home. White Arrows Home is a lifestyle brand that shares a warm and cozy mix of design ideas, inspirational style, and personal journeys from the backdrop of the Wisconsin Northwoods and my lakeside log cabin home. I love sharing daily inspiration for you on my blog, through social media, and in my shop. At White Arrows Home, you can shop in person in the store, but also online from anywhere. You'll find a mix of antique, vintage, and new furniture, accessories, and gifts carefully curated to fit our brand of classy cabin and cottage decor, campy style, and always a heavy sprinkling of plaids. New products come in the shop daily with decor that will let you bring Northwoods living into your own home and style spaces that are inviting, beautiful, and make family and friends want to linger longer. Yeah, and I've had two restaurants that locally that I went into one time and was the greeting was so rude and bizarre that I never went back again.
Yeah.
One time we came into the parking lot. Maybe there were two cars. It's like a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Early dinner time. I walk in the front door. Brian dropped me off and then he was going to go park somewhere and where there was plenty of room. And I walk in and the guy says, "Do you have a reservation?" And I'm looking at the restaurant and I go, "No." He turns the book around to face me, taps on it and goes, "Next time you might want to have a reservation."
Was the book full?
I didn't take time to look. I'm like, okay. And it was a place where there was a dining area.
Yeah.
Then there was a bar with tables in the bar area.
Yeah.
So he could have just said, "Oh, we're about to get really busy, but we'd love for you to just sit here, maybe have an appetizer." Like, it's all how you communicate.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, he was so rude. I was thinking, did I offend him at some point? I mean, like, what just happened? And there was a girl there who went to high school with my daughter, who was kind of helping, and she overheard it. And before I even got back to the car, she had texted my daughter and said, I am so embarrassed that I work here. He was so rude to your mom. We never, ever went back
again.
Oh,
sure, of course.
And we had gone there for years.
Yeah.
But he turned that book around and he was tapping on it. Like,
oh, yeah. Like, it's like you get just a little ounce of power and you just got to throw it in people. I'm in charge of the book.
Well, and it was probably like you where the guy gave you that line and you're just, I was trying to process. I'm thinking about the parking lot and the dining room. And I'm like, okay, so.
Yeah, fair enough. When Sam and I were in Fort Collins visiting our team, we went out for dinner one night and we went to go get an appetizer at Old Elk Distillery, it was called Old Elk, and it's a kind of bourbon. So they had their own restaurant and distillery. And we walked in, it was packed, and we knew it was going to be this is one where it's like, well, we probably did need a reservation. But we're like, hey, we're here. We're just hoping to get a drink and maybe an appetizer. And the lady looks around and goes, oh, I'm sorry, we're really full. Unless you want to sit in that comfortable sofa over there and we'll serve you right. It was like a sofa, a big leather chair, and a cocktail table in front. So it was like a VIP spot. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, you can't sit at these pub tables. You could sit in this incredibly comfortable, nice place while we serve. So we ended up having just old fashions, you know, kind of more, I guess, your traditional old fashioned everywhere else in the country, which is really bourbon heavy with, you know, the orange peel and maybe a little bit of bitters, but not like in so much a Wisconsin style one. And then just had a couple nice appetizers and it was like so perfect. Like couldn't have planned it better.
And you probably got more because you loved being there.
Oh yeah. It was super nice. And she was so welcome. She's like, yeah, you can't really sit in the normal spots, but you could sit in the waiting area and we'll serve you right there. So we kind of hunkered down there and that turned out really nice.
Well, and that's one of those, you know, it's the communication. It's whether it's trained into people by the manager, right? Like this is how we're going to treat our customers, or it's just natural for that person who's greeting you to think quickly about, we don't want these people to go.
Right.
So what could we do that makes it work?
Right. Right. And then this is the other crazy story. So this one has more to do with people that you eat next to sometimes.
Oh goodness.
So we went to this other restaurant, that it's kind of like a bakery restaurant in Fort Collins. I'll have to look up the name. I'll put it in the show notes if I remember what it was. And apparently this has a super nice restaurant in the upstairs, which we didn't know about. So we just ate down in the bakery kind of area. That's a little more like a Cracker Barrel type feel. And we walked in and we asked if we could get a table. She said, yeah, it'll be about 5 minutes. And we waited and walked around the bakery and they had really cool kind of old, I say like Belgian or Dutch style, like antiques around. And she called us in, we sit down and the tables were incredibly close together. Like there might've been a foot between us and the next people. So like Sam's shoulders, she was sitting in a booth and was like shoulder to shoulder with this other lady. And it was like, you could hear everything they were saying. There was no privacy, even not trying to eavesdrop. It's almost like being at the same table with them. And there's a stack of tables. So this lady, we're working on ordering and this lady and her friend are talking about her birthday and they're being pretty loud and, you know, you're trying to just focus in and zone out everything that's going on. And the lady's friend gets up and walks away and leaves. And this lady starts getting animated and she starts looking around and she starts fidgeting and twitching right next to Sam. And then she starts spazzing out and then she starts pounding on her table, slamming her fist down on the table and then she gets down on her knees and starts digging around in the bench, trying to like get her hand in between the bench seat and the back of the bench. But it's like a solid back. So her hand's only going in maybe, you know, 4 inches, like half her fingers. And she's just digging around in there, pulling at her hair, having a complete meltdown next to Sam. And Sam is looking at me with like wide eyes, like what is going on?
Right.
And I just start cracking up because it was like
It
was like an SNL skit where someone is having complete mental breakdown. And then her friend comes back and be like, yeah, I don't know where it's at. And this lady's like, I think someone stole my phone or it fell down in the bench. So she's missing her cell phone and she has an Apple Watch on and she's trying to get the Apple Watch to like play a noise on the cell phone to make sure she can hear it. But it's a loud restaurant And Sam and I are just sitting there, like, eyes straight ahead, looking at each other, like, trying not to get involved in this at all. And the lady's whipping her head around, basically foaming at the mouth
about the cell phone. Did she accuse you of taking her phone?
No, but she was getting, and I mean, she's, I'm expecting her to start, like, rifling through Sam's purse or start going after the person next to her on the other side. And everyone's just kind of quiet. And this, all of a sudden, like, the dining room's quiet. This lady's flipping out. Her friend's trying to calm her down. And then the hostess walks up and goes, "Here's your phone, ma'am. You left it in the bathroom on the toilet paper holder." And the lady's like, "I definitely did not." So she thinks that someone in her mind took her phone and then carried it into the bathroom and set it on there. And then she was, I think, maybe embarrassed. I don't know how she'd have any self observance at all.
I don't know. She's the kind of person that would tell the wait staff that she did not leave her phone. Right. There, but I think she probably didn't care that she had a melt. I think she's used to this just kind of thing happening.
Freaking out. But I love the idea of trying to smash your hand into a booth and like dig through. But it was just the most bizarre kind of funny evening. I mean, it was way more interesting.
Yeah. We had one like that. Brian and I were staying at the Kohler at the American Club.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So it's like upscale. We're having dinner in one of the beautiful restaurants there. It's quiet, it's romantic, it's little tables for two, and then it was kind of that next table over was really close to us, and this is this older couple, and we sit down and I'm thinking, oh, I bet that they've been together for like 50 years and they're so sweet. And then all of a sudden he starts getting like kind of sloshing his words and whatever. And she starts going, "It's the toxins. It's the toxins coming out of you." She's like scolding him. She's like, "That massage you had, it's the toxins that are coming out of you." So now Brian and I are always like, "It must be your toxins coming out of you." And we're same thing. We're trying to just look at each other.
Oh, yeah.
And we did. We started to want to laugh, too, because is ridiculous. They don't even know other people are listening to their weird conversation.
Oh, I was crying. I was laughing hard. And Sam was just like pinching her nose and looking down, like trying not to laugh at this lady I was waiting for her to see me laughing and flip out at me. Like, "You think it's so funny?"
She probably would like, have.
"Oh, whatever. You're going to make a scene. You're going to make a scene in a restaurant full of adults. And if it's like a Saturday night at packed dinner time and you are absolutely looking like a fool."
Well, I was going to say, looking like a toddler, right?
Yeah. It is funny.
Well, speaking of like restaurants and bars and back to cabin names, I started thinking, you know what? I know another like cabin that came to mind, and this one was called the Rustic Cabin. And the reason that I just love that cabin is associated with this is because it's about Frank Sinatra. So I don't know if anybody knows Frank Sinatra kind of got his start at a place called the Rustic Cabin. So I found this article on thefranksinatra.com. Again, we'll link it to you. And just a little article about how he got his start. The Hoboken Four story. So how did it all start? How did Francis Albert Sinatra become the legendary jazz and swing figure of the 20th century? No doubt it all started with the Hoboken Four, or formerly known as the Three Flashes. Are you surprised he didn't keep that name?
the three flashes.
It was the year 1935 when Sinatra was 19. There was a local music group in Hoboken, New Jersey. Back then, the name of the Hoboken Four was the Three Flashes, and the members of the group were named as James Petrozzoli, Pat Principal, and Fred Tamburo. I apologize for any mispronunciations. Frank had discovered that music meant a lot to him, and he could be nothing but a singer. He had always adored Bing Crosby and talked about how amazing Bing's voice was. He had a picture of Crosby in his room, and he always said, "I'm going to be better than Crosby." Well, we surely know now he was not joking. The Three Flashes was performing at a place called Rustic Cabin with Harold Arlen and his orchestra. I wish we still had that. I wish we could still go out to dinner and have orchestras playing and dancing.
Yeah.
Frank knew that to be a great singer, he had to start in some way. Frank wanted to be a member of the group and asked them if he could join. The answer he got was, "We will think about it." Definitely not the answer he expected. Actually, Frank was to be very useful to them because the group had no car and had to use bus or even sometimes cab to go to the places where they were to perform. And Frank Sinatra with his Chrysler was whom they needed. Frank Sinatra's mother, Dolly Sinatra, was a very powerful person on Hoboken. He told his mom that he wanted to join the group more than anything. And Dolly spoke to them and Frank was in. Fred Tamburo later said, "We took him along for one simple reason. Frankie boy had a car. He used to chauffeur us around." It's kind of encouraging. Just start at the bottom and then you'll do well. But anyway, it's kind of a cool story about his history and that it all started with getting to sing on the stage at the Rustic Cabin. I look at things like this and I'm like, where did that sign go?
Oh,
that's what I
sure.
always think. Right. I look at old pictures. I'm like, where did some of that decor go? And oh, where did that big cool sign go? Because there is a cool one in front of the Rustic Cabin.
So this is kind of funny about the Hoboken 4 that I'm reading on their Wikipedia page too while you're talking about it. Because I always wonder when one member of the band makes it like big and gigantic, what happened to everybody else? And he's like this young, good-looking kid with kind of these older guys, and they're treating him like this little brother who's just there because he has the car, and then he becomes Frank Sinatra. So listen to this. "The grind and constant traveling and lodging in substandard accommodations generated tension among the quartet members. At one stop, Sinatra either started giggling on stage or cracked a joke about Tamburo on stage, and Tamburo decked him after the show. Sinatra's talent and self-confidence were evident to everyone in the touring company, as well as his ability to attract female fans. Tamburo and Petrozelli began taking out their frustrations by beating up Sinatra from time to time. Before the end of 1935, Sinatra had enough. He quit the tour and returned home to Hoboken. They continued as the original Three Flashes, as the Hoboken Trio, but soon decided to call it quits themselves. Petrozelli and Principe found jobs in New Jersey while Tamburo went back to being a truck driver." And then Frank Sinatra goes on to be Frank Sinatra.
To be Frank Sinatra.
And it's like, yeah, we used to pick on that kid and beat him up, even though he was our car driver.
Right? I know. It is a, where are they now? Remember those kind of shows? Like, where are they now? And that's where those guys went. Yeah. I did watch a really cool documentary about Frank Sinatra that kind of went through a lot of things, and it was called All or Nothing at All on Amazon Prime. Other people may have seen that, or you might like to learn more about Frank's history and see a little bit of the Rustic Cabin too.
Yeah. And speaking of old school artists, we've been trying to find some more great artists to share with everybody. And one of the artists that we just found, her name is Kimmy Bitter, and talk about an old school voice. Kimmy Bitter just put out a brand new song called Old School. And this is from an article, savingcountrymusic.com. "She's the closest thing our generation has to Patsy Cline, but she also has a style all her own. She's the perfect combination of the familiar and original. The future of country music is classic, and the future of classic country is Kimmy Bitter. If you're a sucker for that old school country sound, and little else sets you at ease similarly, Kimmy Bitter needs to be in your life. Check out this song. This is Old School by Kimmy Bitter.
I'm just a guitar had a twang, and Elvis played a thing called rock and roll. I'm just a dang fool for that old school. Take me back to the tried and true sound of rhythm and blues. I tell you, old school, it makes my old soul feel brand new.
I love it.
Definitely old school.
And part of the reason I love it is because I love old school country.
Yeah.
I love listening to, Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn, all the old school. And she did a great job. Kimmy did a great job getting that sound. You know, there's the backup singers, there's the clapping.
Yep.
That energy in it. And I was kind of commenting to you that I feel like there's so many women country singers right now that their songs are whiny.
Yeah.
Their songs are angry.
Yeah.
Their songs are blah and negative.
Depressing.
And so to hear something like this, it's like, yeah, let's make some new stuff that sounds old, because there was a lot in it that was good.
Oh, amazing. This is a quote. "You can't really explain why you love the things you love, but for me, I have this undeniable love for the 60s and earlier," Bitter says. "To me, music peaked then, and I have been wanting to do a straight up tried and true, good old fashioned record for as long as I, as forever. So at last, here we are with a product in hand and a complete album on the rise." So it sounds like this is going to be just the first song of a whole new album of her work. So we'll have to keep an eye on that, because I love the way it sounds. She sounds, and it's also nice to hear like an older style of music with modern kind of production value.
Yep. And it, like you kind of mentioned, her Instagram is really fun and old school as well. I mean, she's kind of embraced the whole look, the whole vibe. And so it's really good. She would be fun to hear live, I think, too.
Yes. Yeah. You can tell just in her voice, she has that energy.
Yeah. So I'm excited. If anybody else has any music they recommend, and especially some women, that would be, I would love to have some more to follow. So that'd be great.
Well, thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful weekend and enjoy.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Cabin Cast. You can find details and more information in the show notes on our website at www.thecabincast.com. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you won't miss a single episode. Follow us on your favorite social media channels. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Cabin Cast. We'd also love to hear from you. We want to hear your getaway and cabin stories. For a chance to have your story featured on an upcoming episode, email us at getaway@thecabincast.com. Until next week, enjoy the journey.